is a very famous topic that's a big debate in the Gemara and different Masechtos. Most people know it from Gittin in the second parak, but Yesh Breira or Ein Breira. There are different examples of the issue of Yesh Breira, Ein Breira. So it comes up in our Masechta also a little bit, on our daf. On daf, what daf are we? Daf Zayin on the days. It's a din of Achim Shechoku. The father got a Yerusha from his father, or the father bought karka, whatever. The father bought a karka. And, let's say the father got a Yerusha. In Eretz Yisrael, if you own the karka because you have a Yerusha from your father, grandfather, great-grandfather, all the way back to the days of Yeshua ben Nun, that's called the Stei Achuza. And if you bought a karka in Eretz Yisrael, then it's called the Stei Mikna. What's the difference with the Stei Achuza or Stei Mikna? What's the difference what you label it? If it's a Stei Mikna, then the Chumash says, when it comes to Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, it goes back to the original owner, the one who got it Birusha from the days of Yeshua ben Nun. But if it's a Stei Achuza, if you got it Birusha, then it remains by you. So we mentioned the Gemara in the end of Peres around Afnun Aleph, so it says, there's a machlekes hatalaim, whether habal yorish is ishto, is that a din deraisa or a din derabbanan? What's the difference, whether it's deraisa or derabbanan? Even if it's only with derabbanan, the Gemara raises a question, how can the chachamim allow the husband to steal the money from the wife's children? The wife dies, and the children want to get the Yerusha from their mother, and the husband wants to get the Yerusha. So in HaTorah, according to that one opinion, the Raman passed like that, habal yorish is ishto is only with derabbanan, and the Rabbi disagreed. The Rabbi passed like the other Tana that Abal Yerusha is Ishta is a din deraisa. So the Gemara raised the question, how can a Chachamim change the din deraisa? When a Torah, the Yerusha goes to the children, and the Rabbanan goes to the husband, isn't the husband a violation, outright violation of Lo Sigzo? He's taken away the Chasim from the children. And Yesh Kerach Biyad Chachamim Laka Dor Men a Torah B'Shevi Al Taseh. The Chachamim can tell you, don't blow Shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. Don't shake a lulav. Whenever Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, the first day Sukkot, also going to fall out on Shabbos, the 15th of the month. Same day of the week as the first day of the month. So the Chachamim, even though the first day of Sukkot, the Tilas lulav is their Isa, Lakach Nelchem Bayam Arishan, all over the world you have to shake a lulav. Yesh Kerach Biyad Chachamim, Lakadov Ben HaTorah, B'Shev Al Tasa. But Ein Kerach Biyad Chachamim, Lakadov Ben HaTorah, B'Kum Yachzei, they can't allow you, let's say the Reformed rabbis permit their balabatim to drive to the synagogue on the Sabbath in order to maintain Jewish identity. So Orthodox rabbis don't have that authority, only Reformed rabbis and conservative rabbis. The Orthodox don't give so much authority to their rabbis. That's based on the sugya and the Bavli. It's a big machloikis, and the maskanas are Bavli in Yevamos, and the Pezayin, Peres, Peites goes on and on and on with many different cases. See, the Chachamim make exer the Rabbanon that you're not allowed to eat chicken that's cooked in milk. And they make exer the Rabbanon you're not allowed to write with your left hand. You're not allowed to carry in a carmelis. That's based on the pasuk, Nishmartem es Nishmarti. But here the Chacham tell you to violate a mitzvah deraisa. The Torah says you have to shake a lulav, you have to blow shofar. The Chacham say, don't listen to the Torah, don't listen. Don't blow shofar and don't shake a lulav. That's called Akira's Dov Men HaTorah. So we know that they have authority. Akira's Dov Men HaTorah. B'Shevi Al Taseh. They tell you, don't shake a lulav. And they say, don't put on tzitzis on a beged shel pishton. And they tell you, a gershon is guy bearer Pesach should not bring Pesach Rishon. Let him bring Pesach Sheni the next month. Let him not bring Pesach Rishon this, the first month, and Nisan. Let him bring Pesach Sheni and Yud Dalet here. So that we know from Mishnah Yishkech V'Yachachamim Laka Dov Men HaTorah B'Shevi Al Taseh. What about Bekum V'Yaseh? So that's a machloikis in the Gemara. And the Bavli comes to the maskana that ain't karech b'yad chacham. They don't have authority. The b'yerke b'kum b'yaseh. The Yushalmi seems to hold not so. The Yushalmi seems to have adopted the position. The yishkirach lakar, afil b'kum b'yaseh. But we follow the Bavli. Whenever there's a contradiction between the Bavli and the Yushalmi, we always follow that's the riff in the end of Erevin has that. And the famous riff in the end of Erevin. He makes a historical claim. It's a question whether it's true or not. He claims that those who edited the Talmud Bavli were familiar with everything that it says in the Yerushalmi. And if they write Fakeret, if the Bavli contradicts what it says in the Yerushalmi, we apply the rule Hilchasa Kebasroi, because the Yerushalmi was edited by the Talmidim of Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan was a Talmud of Rabbi Yudah Nasi, means he was the first generation of Amoraim. So his Talmidim, the second generation of Amoraim, that's the Talmud Bat, the Yerushalmi. The Bavli is way later. Rabbi Rav Asher was a few generations, quite a few generations later. So that's called Hilchasa Kebasroi. Whenever there was an issue between earlier generations and later generations, we know that the later generations were familiar with what they said in earlier generations and they disagreed. So then we assume they took everything into consideration, knowing what the earlier psak was, and they reversed the psak, so we say Hilchasa Kebasroi. So that's what the Rif writes. And the end of Ivamis, that's a question whether that historical fact is historical. Is it true that the Chachmei HaBavli were familiar with everything that it says in the Rishalmi? So the several books were written about that, whether that assumption is correct. But that the Rambam also writes like that. So we assume that we always pass from like the Rambam always follows the Rif. Usually Ruba the Rubi follows the Rif. So he says whenever there's a contradiction between the Bavli and the Rishalmi, we always follow the Bavli. Taisus even writes in the end of Ksubas around Daf Kub. Daf Kub, based on an Aleph, there's a gigantic Taisus on an Aleph, big fat Taisus. So Taisus writes, even when it's a Shaila, what did Rabbi Yochanan say? The Rishalmi was written by the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan. They should know better than the Chachmei HaBavli. So Taisus says, no. Even when it's a question, what did Rabbi Yochanan say? Because we want to pass like Rabbi Yochanan. So we follow the Bavli against the Yerushalmi. There's on Daf Kul Besam and Aleph in the end of Ksubis. There's Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Shloka Shchai Vani Lochmona Bishtar. And we pass on like Rabbi Yochanan. But there are two versions of what Rabbi Yochanan said. The way it says in the Bavli is not the way it says in the Yerushalmi. So Tais says, whenever there's any contradiction between the Bavli and Yerushalmi, we always follow the Bavli. So the Gemara raises a question: if we, the Gemara there in this sugya in Yevamah stuff, peches, peites, peizayin, peches, peites, if we assume enkach v'yachachamim, lakadom and ator bikum, I said the rabbis do not have the authority to allow us to drive to the synagogue on Shabbos. And if a woman is an eish esish and the chachamim feel bad for her, so they want to allow her to remarry, they cannot just allow a woman to remarry. Once in a while, they do. Avkino Abani Kedushimene, how do they do that? So the Gemara says, called the Mekadesh Adaita, the Rabbana Mekadesh, and therefore Avkino Abani Kedushimene, they have the right to do that. So what about in Dina Mamanis? Let's say Menatoira, the Raman Paschal is like that, Tana Menatoira, a married woman dies, her children get the Yerusha, whatever Yerusha she has, not her husband. And the Rabbana, the husband gets the Yerusha. Outright Loi Sigzo, how the Chacham have authority to change the din and dini mamonis, to give the money to the wrong person? It's outright a violation of Lai Sigzal. So the Gemara says, the mechanism whereby it's allowed is Hefke Bezna Hefkes. Once Bezna is Mafke the Mammon, so the Mela, the husband who's pocketing the money, he's taking the Yerusha from his wife, is not in violation of Lai Sigzal. The Bezna was Mafke the Mammon. Hefke Bezna Hefke. So at the end of the day, it really shouldn't make a difference whether Abal Yerusha Zishtei is a din derais, a din derabbanon. Even if it's a din derabbanon, but it works minatar, because Hefke Bezna Hefke is based on psukim in the Chumash. So is there any difference halacha lemaisa between these two shitas? Whether Abal Yerusha Zishtei is derais, a derabbanon. The Raman Paskin, that is derabbanon. The Raivit Paskin, that is derais. What's a nafkemina? Are there any nafkeminas? So the Gemara in the end of Bechoros around Daphnon Aleph also, so the Gemara has an afkamina. If Abal Yerusha Sishta is a din deraisa, then the husband gets the Yerusha, the Torah's Yerusha. So Yerusha is Eino Chazeres B'yoyvel. Even when it comes Yom Kippur Shal Yav, he doesn't have to give it back to the children. He's the Yerush. Yerusha doesn't go back, but if you say Abal Yerusha Sishta, Men HaTorah, really the children get the Yerusha. And Midirabbanon, we give it to the Baal, because of Hefke Bezna Hefke, what's the nature of the Hefke Bezna Hefke? So the Gemara, so the Arsamech explains Pshat and the Gemara. In marriage, there are a lot of Shibudim. The wife is Meshubit to the husband, the husband is Meshubit to the wife. So all of the Shibudim are reciprocal. This Shibud is Kenega, that Shibud. This is Kenega, this, and that Kenega, that. The Gemara Ksubis discusses what's Kenega, what, and which one is the Iker, and which one is because of that. That's why they made this Takana. Like we said over the Din, The wife has the schus to say, "Ein in izaynis." The husband is mechuyib b'mizaynis ishtoi. That's also machlokes satanai. Ba mechuyib b'mizaynis ishtoi. Is that a din deraisa or a din derabbanan? The Rambam writes that sheir ksus v'yayna arol min haTorah. That's what it says in Chumash. Sheir ksus v'yayna lo yigra. So the Rambam says abal chay b'mizaynis ishtoi is a din deraisa, and the Gemara seems to say not so. The Gemara seems to say that Baal Chai Ben Zonis Ishta is only made the Rabbanah. So the Gemara says that the Takana, the Rabbanah, was made a Takana, the wife is entitled to a Mezainis from the husband. And in exchange for the Mezainis, the wife should hand over Maisi Adel. If she does little work, she types term papers once in a while, she knits yarmulkes, she stitches things, she makes paintings, whatever, she does calligraphy work. Whatever she does, she makes a few dollars at home, so she has to hand over all the money to the husband because the husband is giving her food, the husband is supporting her. What if the wife doesn't want to hand over the Maisi Adero? So she has a brayer, she has the option to say, Ein in Yizayinis Vein Yoysa. I'm moichel to the husband, the Mezoinis. The husband is mechuyib in Mezoinis. She's moichel the schus. Mele, once she's not entitled to the Mezoinis, that he's a Mele, he's not entitled to Maisi Adero. He has no right to take the money because it's zeh tachazeh. So the Gemara says that if habal yorish es ishto is only with the rabbanon, then it's part of the zeh tachazeh. So why does the husband get the Yerusha? So the Gemara says it's a zeh tachazeh because if she will be nishbis, if she'll be in the days of the Gemara, in the Middle Ages, they used to have, and they still have in South America, it's very common, they kidnap people and they hold up the family for ransom money. So the question is, a man was married to a woman and then they kidnapped his wife and they want $500,000, $1 million that he doesn't have so much money. Is he mechuyev liftoi sezishtoi? So the Gemara says that's one of the takonas trachamim, that the Baal is mechuyev to be paid to his wife. So in exchange for that, we give the Baal a zeh tachazeh, we give him the right to yarshan the wife. So we consider it as if there's a mecher over here, as if he's obligating himself. He didn't obligate, the Chachamim imposed it. The Chachamim imposed the husband's b'chiv to be paid to his wife in Ashivya, in exchange for which he gets the Yerusha. So if it's a zeh tachazeh, then it's like a mecher. So then when the husband yarshins his wife, it's not b'toras Yerusha, it's b'toras mecher. So whenever you buy it, the achuza, the wife got it from her father, who got it from his father, all the way back to the days of Yishuv Benun. So by the wife, it was a steachuza. And then when the husband gets it, if Abba Yorosh is Hishta, is a din deraisa, the husband gets a b'toras Yerusha. If he gets b'toras Yerusha, you don't have to give it back when it comes Yom Kippur Shel Yevam. But if Abba Yorosh is Hishta, is only b'derabbanan, so how can it be b'derabbanan? Ein kach b'yach chacham, malak adob men ha-toyrah, b'kum b'yasei. How do the Chachamim have the right to change the dinim when it comes to dinim amenis? It's outright gezel. They're allowing someone to take money that is not entitled to. So the Gemara says that's based on the principle of hefke bez nehefke. See here, by a bal yarish hasishtoi, hefke bez nehefke, they made a zeh tachazeh. Husband is entitled to the Yerusha in exchange for which he's mechuyev to be paid to her. If she will be nishbis, he will be mechuyev to be paidar. So since if it's a zeh tachazeh, then it should be, then it's like a mecher, then it should be chayzer b'yovel. So the Gemara said that's one nafkemina. What Abba Yerush is ishta is a din deraisa, din derabbanan. That's one nafkemina. There's another nafkemina. Does a husband have the ability to be mevater on the schus Yerusha? If it's a din Yerusha, so the Yorish gets the Yerusha bal korchai, whether he likes it or not, he gets the only Yerusha, the only thing you don't get bal korchai is the pishnaim. He said because of pasuk says, "Los is lo pishnaim uchalas sheimotze los is matana kari rachmana." So if the bechor doesn't want the pishnaim, he could be mevater. He has the schus, he could be mevater. But every other Yerusha, you get bal korchai whether you like it or not. If you're not happy about it, you can be mafkirid, you can be machnit to someone else. You can't just say, I want to be mesalik myself on the Yerusha. If you say that it's a din derabbanan, like the Rambam holds, abal yorosh hashishta, it was only a din derabbanan, the Gemara makes a statement that Nachal Habon Olodom Imokam Acher, if you have a Yerusha that you get from left field, a normal Yerusha is a Yerusha. So Yerusha is not Chozeres B'Yavim. When it comes Yom Kippur Shel Yavim, you don't get back to Yerusha. But if it's a Nachal Habon Olodom Imokam Acher, means B'Derabbanan, it's not Menatur. One is that Habal Yerusha Istish Dezon B'Rabbanan. So then the Gemara says the husband has a right to say L'Nichali B'Takat D'Rabbanan, has a right to be Mevater. What do you mean Mevater? Because he's Moichal on the Schutz. How can he be Moichal on the Schutz? It's a bailus. So the answer is, if he waits till after the wife dies and then he says I'm Moichal on the Yerusha, it's too late. He already owns the Yerusha. It's Hafal. And if he says it, one is only engaged. He says, I'm Moichel the Schus to get Yerusha. So the Gemara in Gittin says, that's a Mechila on a Dovah Shel Abol Yolam. He can't be Moichel a Dovah Shel Abol Yolam. If he says, I'm Moichel the Schus Yerusha during Erisin, because if you hold that Abal Yerusha Sishta is a Din Deraisa, the Gemara said the husband doesn't Yashan the wife if she dies during Erisin, only if she dies after Nisun. So during Erisin, is there anything there? So if Abal Yerusha Sishta is a Din Deraisa, there's nothing there during Erisin. It's still after she'll die, then he'll get the Yerusha. Calls man that she's alive, whether he's engaged or married with Kiddushin or married with Tisun, there's nothing there. And after she dies, it's too late to be Meichel, and it can't be Meichel before. There is no Mechila. There's no Schus. I don't have a Schus that if my rich uncle ever dies, if a parent of mine dies, I have the Schus to Yerush. That's not a Schus. If he dies, I'll get the Yerusha. Calls man is alive, I have no Schus. But the Gemara says, if Habal Yerush and Sishta is only Midarabanan, then it goes in stages. When they're engaged, there's nothing there. The Schus Yerusha is a Dovah Shel Abol Yolam. After they have Erisin, then the husband has a Schus and Nichze Ishtoi, whatever property she has. If he'll have Nisuin, and then she'll die before the husband, then the husband will have the right to Yarshin. But after he already does the Nisuin, then it's considered Yodek Yodin, then it's considered as if he owns a Bia. So the Gemara has this Shiloh Yesh Breir and Breir in different places. So the Gemara has the Shiloh Breir Benegiah to Yerusha also. Which case by Yerusha? Let's say a man got a Yerusha in Eretz Yisrael, Karka in Eretz Yisrael. So if it comes Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, if he got a Stei Achuzah, you don't give it back. It stays by him. If he got a field, a Stei Mikneh, if he bought it, he paid for it, then it's Chozer is B'Yovel. So the Shiloh is, what if someone had a Stei Achuzah, and then he dies, and he has two children, and the children divided up. There was one field in New Jersey. New Jersey is all Stei Achuzah, Stei Mikneh. It has to be in Eretz Yisrael. All these dinim only apply in Eretz Yisrael. There's such a concept of Stei Achuzah. So let's say the father owned two houses in Eretz Yisrael, and he dies. So one house at Chreis in Petach Tikva, one house in Yerushalayim. And then the Yorushim split. The one of the Yorushim takes one house, the other Yorush takes the other house. So the Gemara has a machlokes, Achim Shecholku, the two Yorshim, do we consider them ki Yorshim, or do you consider them ki Lukuchas? When the father dies, the two houses belong to Tfusas Habayis. Tfus Habayis means the estate. It's a Shutfus, and it's a different kind of a Shutfus. And two people are going to enter into a Shutfus together. I own Chreis 50%, you own 50%, or I own 25%, you own 75%, depending how much money each one put into the shutfus. And to the extent that I'm the owner, you don't own. The part that I own, you don't own. By Tfusas Habayis, it's considered as if it's one big bailus. All of the children together all own all of the assets together. It's a fancier form of shutfus. A couple of nafkamin is there, but it's not negeya now. So the shaila is, when the father died and he had more than one son, so they owned everything but Tfusas Habayis. Everybody owns everything together. Then they're going to divide it. So I'm going to get one, you're going to get one, and the third son is going to get one. So how did it happen? We made a chalukah. So what's the mechanism? When the father died, everything belonged to Tfusas Habayis, to all three of us together. How did it happen that all of a sudden this house belongs to me, only that house belongs to you, only that house belongs to you? Do you need a das makna here? That we all agree, and we're all adults, and we're all after bar mitzvah, so I have a das makna, a makna that house to you and that house to you, in exchange for which you're being makna, this house to me. It's if you Or do you say no? Just like the din of Yerusha would have been if there's only one son, so the son gets a Bitteres Yerusha. And if there's more than one child, more than one son, then it belongs to Tfus Abayis. So too, if there's more than one son, and then a year or two, or 10 years later, they divide it up. So after they make a haluka, the din of Yerusha continues to function. Din of Yerusha said in the moment the father died that it belongs to Tfus Abayis. Then if they decide to split up the Shutfus, 10 years later, so the din of Yerusha is still functioning, that we draw lots or whatever, we decide who's going to take the house in Petach Tikva, who's going to take the house in Tel Aviv, who's going to take the house in Yerushalayim. And once we did that, you don't need Das Makna. I should be Makna to you, your share, you should be Makna. No. We say, Yesh Breire. Who brought Dover Lamai Breire? We say, when the father died, the din of Yerusha set in. At the time that he died, it set in that everything belongs to all of us together, Tfus Abayis. And the din of Yerusha is still hanging, still suspended in midair. After the children will make a haluke, this, and they agree, this house I'll take, that you'll take. So the din of Yerusha says, I get that house. I get it, Bitteres Yerush. They say, Ha'achm Shecholku. If there's more than one brother and how to divide assets, and they're dividing Karka and Eretz Yisrael, they say, Ha'achm Shecholku. Yorshim Havu, because you say Yesh Brera. Even though at the time the father died, we didn't yet determine who's going to take which house. It was only clearly only determined later. But you still say, Huvra Dalam Afreya, the din of Yerusha, at the time the father died, accomplished that all the property belongs to all of the brothers, Tfus Abayis, and the din of Yerusha still continues to function 10 years later when they make a haluke. Die on this house, he owns that house, he owns that house. Or should he say, no, Ha'ach Meshacholku, because you don't say Huvra Dovan Amafri. At the time the father died, he had three houses and he had three sons, and we didn't ascertain yet who's going to get what. So the din of Yerusha only accomplished at that time, all the three houses belong to all three. Then later you have to have a Das Makna. It wouldn't appear, that's what they quote B'Shem Rav Chaim, it wouldn't appear that you need a Hakno, like in our Gemara. The Gemara says if you have Shutvim, so Gemara suggested pshat, it's a sod hashem bo kedei chaluka, and they decided they want to divide it. Even though it's ain bo kedei chaluka, they agreed they want to divide it. So Gemara says, so what? He has the right to back out. He can, one of them, whoever wants, can still back out. He can back out from the whole deal of dividing the sod hashem bo kedei chaluka. Why do you say that once he agreed, why can't you back out? That's on Gimel Amunah before the white line. So the Gemara says, Konam Yodah. Well, what Konam Yodah? They made Shikonam Yodah Beruchas. We made a real Kenyan. So the Gemara only says that if you have a Karka, that Embo Kadeh Chaluka, and they agree that they want to divide it, then you have to have a Kenyan Konam Yodah Beruchas. But by Yerusha, Rav Chaim assumes that nobody holds that you need a Kenyan. The whole machlokes and the Gemara, where the Yesh Breira and Breira, the whole machlokes only is, they need Das Makna on the part of all the three brothers. That we should all agree, you should own that field all by, that house all by yourself. He should own that one, I should own this one. Do you need Das Makna? There's no need for Das Makna. They just made the Chalukah, and the din of Yerusha sets in. So what's an afkemin al halacha, where they need Das Makna, they don't need Das Makna? The end of the day, I get one house, you get one house, he gets one house. And the nafkemina will be, the Gemara has one shayla, achm shecholku. How do we paskin? How do we paskin on this machlek? Is what the yesh breir ein breir. Machlek is hatanoim in a few days, in Erevin, and in Gittin, and in different mesichtas. So we paskin, there's a gigantic Ran in the Dorm. When you learn the Dorm, you don't have to read the Gemara, just read the Ran. The Ran quotes the Mishnah with the Gemara, with the Rashi, with the Tosfos, with the Rambam, with the Ramban all the time. The Ran has everything. So there's a Ran, the beginning of Perek HaShutvim. So there's a long Ran, and he quotes the three opinions, how we paskin la'alocha. So there's one sheet that we paskin Yeshbre, one sheet that we paskin Embre in the Rishonim. And he says, the Psak HaMekubal Shulchan Aruch is what the Ran says, based on the end of Beitza. The one the end of Beitza also has this machlekes. With respect to Dinim Deraisa Embre, with respect to Dinim Derabonon Yeshbre. So Ha'achim Shechoku, that's a Din Deraisa, it's not a Din Derabonon. Achm shalchok we paskan is lekuchasein because we hold that ain't prayer, so you need das makna. So because we paskan achm shalchok lekuchasein, so you need das makna. in order that each one should own the field or the house that he gets. So that's what Tosis explains over here. There is a machlokes later in Bava Basra. Tosis says, "Lekamon daf pehe." What do you say? Mocha ban yofu hu mocha, or mocha ban rohu mocha. Let's say I have a beautiful mansion, and I have a few acres of area around this beautiful mansion, and I retain the house for myself, and I give you ownership of all the fields around. So I always used to drive my car from the highway on the street and then in front of the house. But now I sold everything to you. You own everything. I just own the house. So do I still retain the right to drive through your... I sold you the whole area around the house. Do I still reserve the right to drive up to the house? Or do you say, no. The area no longer belongs to me. If you want to, you can say, go rent a helicopter. And go from the highway and land on top of your house top. So funny machloikas satanai. So Tosis says, the third Tosis on Daf, what was it? Daf Zayin Amud Beis. The way passing like Rabbi Akiva, Mocha Ban Yofel Mocha. If I'm selling you the karka around the mansion, around the house, unless I say explicitly, I retain the right to park my car in front of the house, to drive the car. If I didn't say explicitly, he has to have the seichel. If he didn't say it, then we assume, I don't know why, we assume, he sold the other fellow the whole area, and if he wants to get up to his house, he has to pay for the right to have a driveway. And if not, the fellow can say, go fly in the air, go rent a helicopter and land on top of your roof. So Tosis says, we paskin achim shecholku Aim brere, so therefore the kuchas aim. So therefore it's moicha ban yofel hu moicha. You need das makna. I'm makna that house to you. You're makna that house to me. We're all makna the third house to the third brother. Everybody's makna everything. So since moicha ban yofel hu moicha and achm shecholku al kuchas, so therefore ein lehem ze al ze. Let's say they made a chalukah. I'm gonna get this farm. You're gonna get that farm. And when the parents were still alive, everything was all one big farm. And they always used to carry things from the street through this farm into this farm. So now we made a chalukah. I own this farm, you own that farm. So can I taina? I own this farm. Self-understood. I want to use the farm the same way their parents used to use it. That's how the Gemara presents the argument on the bottom of Amud Aleph. Adaita, the last line on Zayin Amud Aleph. The one brother can say to you, I want to live in this house and this farm. Just like our parents used to live here. They used to carry things from the street through this farm onto this farm. So this farm is mine, that farm is yours. So I should retain the right to go. So the Gemara says, a nice idea, but we don't paskan like that. We paskan like Rabbi Akiva, we paskan ein brera b'deraisa. And Chalukas Yorshim is a din deraisa. So since I'm Berach Mishalchok or the Kuchasim, so you need Das Makne. Whenever you have a Das Makne, Moicher Ban Yofel or Moicher, why is it Moicher? Because he gets that house in exchange for which I get this house. That's considered Zetachazen, that's called Moicher. Even though they're only making a Chalukah, no one's paying for anything. We consider it as if they're paying. Because he's giving me ownership of this house in exchange for which I'm giving him ownership of that house. So therefore, I don't even have the right to say, the year in the bay, I want to live there the same way our parents used to use it. They used to go from one field to the other. No, the other field now belongs to the brother, and he has a right to charge me if I want to go through the backyard. Very surprising application of this din, of Ein Brera. The Gemara says in a few places, Achim Shechoku, if you hold Ein Brera, L'kuchasein, U'machzirim zelazet v'yoivim. If it would have been the Torah, let's say 10 years after the father died, then they make a chalukah. So we paskin ein brera. We don't say that the laws of Yerusha are still functioning. That the minute the father died, the first din of Yerusha set in, that all the three houses belong to the Tfusas Habayis, or to the estate. Everybody owns it together. And then 10 years later, the din of Yerusha still sets in. We say that the Misa Sa'av is makna this house to me, Misa Sa'av is makna the other house to him, and the third house to the third brother. If you would have said Yesh Breir, it would have been like that. So we say Ein Breir, that the Misa, the Din of Yerusha didn't accomplish that. So then it became by me a stay mikne, it's no longer a stay achuzam. So therefore you have to give it back the Yovel. That's how the Gemara is also surprising. Every Yovel, if they live to the age of 150, so every Yovel they're going to give it back and forth to each other. That's a question technically, what do you do? What do you mean? When it comes Yovel, the house that I give to you. Why? Let's say they're three brothers. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. So he got the three houses in Eretz Yisrael. One in Tel Aviv, and one in Yerushalayim, and one in whatever, Rehovot. So the three houses. So what's Machzir Mzal Zabi? I give my house to you, you give your house to him. And now it's a Stei Achuza. No, now it's still a Stei Mikta. When it comes next year, they're going to give it back again. So what exactly do you do? So some of the Shanim say what it means is when it comes Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, you have to draw lots all over again. It may turn out that everyone's going to get the same house that he got the first time. Or if they agree, let's not swap houses, leave it the way it is. Okay, if all three agree, they don't have to give it back to Yovel. But if someone wants the other house, what does it mean? You draw lots all over again. Or you mean, no, you have to surrender the house to give it to the other. But that's a discussion in the Rishonim. What does that mean? Machzirim Zala Zevi Yovel. It's a very surprising Gemara that you say Ein Breira, and therefore Achm Shacholku Lekucha same, and therefore Mecha Bain Yofu. Mecha Bain Yofu Hu Mecher. So he gave ownership to the full ownership to the other brother, even at the expense of losing his normal rights. How's he going to get to his own house? No, he gave everything over to the brother. So when you make such a chalukah, when it comes up, you have to make a tenai in advance, and I reserve the right to walk through the property, otherwise he has no right to go through the property. The brother can charge him. The brother can charge him for walking through his property. Funny case in the Gemara. The Gemara has a whole bunch of cases where Rav Chama gave a psak. In different cases. So the last case that he gave the psak was a psak. Funny case. They're not sure whether they should paskan like Rav Chama. At the end, we paskan like Rav Chama by everything except for the last one. This one doesn't make sense. Then the Gemara says no. Mazucha beider Mary Amar no. Bohanami holds the Rav Chama. He paskan like Rav Chama. The last one. It's a funny case. What's the case? The father died, and someone comes with a shtar halvoya. No. What's the case again? The Yorshim have a shtar. The father died, and the Yorshim take over the father's business, and they find the shtar halva. The father lent somebody $50,000. They don't know whether he ever paid back. So they, after the father died, they find in his office, they find in the files. So they come with the shtar to Bez, and they say they want the guy to pay. So the guy produces a shofar that says, signed by two witnesses on the bottom, this is to ascertain that the loiva paid the money. Usually when the loiva pays the money, so he doesn't give the money until the malva rips up the shtar. Here, let's say the malva says he misplaced the shtar, doesn't know where it is. After he died, then they found it in his files, in his office. But while the malva was alive, the malva said to the loiva, pay up to $50,000, and the loiva says, I'll be happy to pay. Surrender the shtar to me, I want to rip it up. He says, he's looking, couldn't find the shtar. So strictly speaking, the loiva doesn't have to pay, because he can say, I don't trust you. You're going to take my $50,000, you're going to wait another 10 years, then you're going to produce the shtar, then you're going to say that I never paid it. So the malva will say, I'll give you a shtaiver. So the loiva can say, I don't want to be mukhiv to hold on to the shtaiver. I'm only mukhiv to make a piran. Piran means I pay you the money and I'm putter with you. I'm getting rid of you. But over here, I'm never going to get rid of you. I have to hold on to the shtaiver forever and ever. Because you may wait 10, 15, 20 years and then pop up with the shtar, and then you'll make me pay a second time. But let's say the loiva was a nice fellow, and he paid the halva, and the malva gave him a shtar. So he's holding on to the shtar. So the Gemara has this funny case. The Yorishim, the father died, and the debt was, he could have collected it 5 years ago. And now the Yorishim look in the file in the office and they find a shtar that, to the best of their knowledge, was never paid up. So they present the shtar in Beis Din and they tell the lawyer, we'd like you to pay. The lawyer claims, I paid already and I have a shofar. So what's the din? Do you need a kiyum ashtar on a shofar or not? Let's say a different case. Let's say a malva and a loiva. So the loiva comes with a shtar that says, this is to ascertain, we the undersigned testify, we were present when Reuven lent Shimon $100,000 and he has 5 years to pay back the money. It's already 5 years after the 5 years are up. And the malva says, I want to get paid. So the loiva can say, I don't know who the guy is, he's a liar, the shtar is mezuyah. Minatur, there's no such thing. It's tiny, the shtar is mezuyah. Moshe l'mad avadayma, let's say two witnesses come and they testify, Bal peh, we remember the way Reuven lent Shimon $50,000. So the loiva is going to say, they're lying. The loiva is going to say, the Edom are lying. The Torah says, we believe Edom. The loiva can't say, you don't believe the loiva when he says they're lying. Of course he's going to say they're lying. He doesn't want to pay the money. So the same thing over here, the Gemara says, Edom achsimim al ashtar min ha-Torah, the loiva doesn't have the right to taina mezuyif, that the shtar is a lie, and it's not true, I don't know who he is, I never borrowed the money. But midirabbanan, they made a takana. Why they make a takana midirabbanan? So the Gemara seems to say, because in the days of Maimon HaSinai, people were more honest. And as the generations went on, there was a yiridus hadoros by generally a mankind, and people are more dishonest than they used to be. So when Atari say Edom achsim al ashtar na'asik v'ishem nech v'idusim v'bezen, and the loiva does not believe that he says mezuyim, like he's not believed to say against Edom that they're lying. But the midrabbanan in the days of the Tanaim, the Chacham made a takana that the loiva can tie mezuyim, and the malva will not be able to collect it unless he makes a kiyum ashtar. But because kiyum ashtar is only needed midrabbanan, in Atari you don't need a kiyum ashtar. That's why there are a lot of kulas. What are some of the coolest? So we said one of the coolest is that even though Emekab Meir and Shalai B'fnei Baldin, that's if you have a real case, Tesis quoted that din on the hand of base. Emekab Meir and Shalai B'fnei Baldin, that's the one the end of Bava Kamen. So that's only when you really need Edis Menatur. But Edim Akiyam Ashtar, because Kiyam Ashtar is only needed in the Rabbanon, so you can be Mekab Ledis even Shalai B'fnei Baldin, even not in the presence of the Loiva. The Loiva is the one who stands to lose. By the Eidim testifying that we recognize this is our signature. Or they'll say, we remember signing the shtar. We remember signing. We don't know whether it's paid or not, but we remember signing the shtar. Or they'd say, they don't remember, but they recognize the signature. Or let's say they died already, the Eidim died already, and then you have in the bank, they have thousands of checks that the guy endorsed when they sent him checks in the mail. So they compare the signatures. You make a dimoy hachasimus, you compare the two signatures that the witnesses assigned the shtar, he take all of their bank records, all of the checks that they endorsed, and you compare the signatures. So you have experts that know how to compare signatures to determine whether it's authentic, whether it's a kiyum ashtar or not. So there are a lot of coolness in kiyum ashtars, because kiyum ashtars only needed midirabbanan. So that's a big discussion in recent svarim. What's the nature of this din, midirabbanan? The malva has a shtar, and he says, the loiva owes me $50,000, he never paid. The loiva says, I don't know who you are, I don't know who the Edom are, the whole thing is mezuyif. So the din is minatore, you don't believe him, and midirabbanan, you have to make kiyum ashtar. The malva doesn't collect unless he makes a kiyum ashtar on the shtar halvor. So does that mean midirabbanan, they gave them monies to the loiva to taina mezuyif? They gave them monies because the loiva is muchzik on his money. So just like if he says paraiti, or if he says, if you have a mulva al peh, so the loiva can be kofer hakol, say paraiti, can say lo visi. So here midirabbanan, min ha-Torah, he's not nemet to say mezuyif, but midirabbanan, he's nemet to taina mezuyif, because he's muchzik on the money, so we believe him. Is that why? Because he taina is mezuyif. Or maybe it's more than that. Maybe the Chachamim made a takana that the shtar sheni mekuyim doesn't have this status of a shtar. Shtar sheni mekuyim is like a chaspa bialma, like a piece of clay, as if nothing were written there. What's a nafkamina? So the nafkamina, this is a shaila Rav Moshe Feinstein talks about, Rav Baruch Be'er talks about, and the recent Magid Eshir talk about in the last 100 years, they talk about this issue. Shaila is, what about Bayu Shaiva? What about Bayu Shaiva? The Malva has a shtar mekuyam that the Lova owes him $50,000. Then the Loiva has a Shaiva she'ena mekuyam. The Loiva has a Shaiva she'ena mekuyam. So the Malva turns around and he says, Mezuyev. He says, I think the Shaiva is Mezuyev. I don't remember you paying me the money. You never paid me the money. And the Shaiva has two signatures. He tain is Mezuyev. Is he nemat the tain Mezuyev? Lahoitzi. Maybe the only time the Chachamim gave them on is the tain Mezuyev is Lahachzik. When the Loiva tain is, the Shtar Halva is Mezuyev. So the Loiva is Muchzik on the money in his bank account. He doesn't want to shell out money. So he has namanis to say, if it would have been a milvah pay, he would have been namanis to say lolavisi, or he would have been namanis to say paraiti. So now, even though it's a milvah bishtar, and he can't say lolavisi, he can't say paraiti, shtar chapiyot, my boy, but he's neman b'derabana tataina mizuyev. That's why, because neman tataina mizuyev. So then it's only the one who's muchzik will be neman to pater himself lahachzik, to say the shtar was mizuyev. But here, they gave namanis to the malveh, the taina against the shaiva of the loiva that is mezuyev, and therefore the loiva has to pay him again. They gave namanis lahoitzi mamen lachare. They only gave namanis lahachzik, not lahoitzi. So that's a shaila. Maybe what's the nature of the din derabbanan? That's the nature of the din derabbanan. Was it that any shtar sheni mekuyim midderabbanan is not considered a shtar? So even a shaiva also doesn't have the status of a shtar unless they make a kiyum. So in the Shulchan Aruch, It's a Gemara, the very end of the first parak in Bob Metzia. Usually in yeshivas, they never get to the last page in the first parak. So the last page in the first parak in Bob Metzia says kemat explicitly that a shulchan also needs a kiyum. So that's what it says here in Shulchan Aruch on this case. The father died, and the children, the yorshim, went through the office, and they found the shtar, b'kuyim, that says that so-and-so owes the father $50,000. So they take him to Bez, and I say, we found a shtar, you owed our father $50,000. So he pops up with a shaver, mekuyim. If he has a shaver, shayna mekuyim, so then Bezden would say, tainina mezuyah on behalf of the Yoshim. But he has to come with a shaver mekuyim. And nonetheless, the Gemara says, nonetheless, since he never... This shaiva never popped up during the lifetime of the father. It's already 5 years since the Zman Halva was up. The father had lent him $50,000 10 years ago, and he lent him the money for 5 years. And then 5 years later, the father dies. And all of a sudden, after the father dies, then the children tell the loiva, we want you to pay the $50,000. He pops up with a shaiva. We never heard about the shaiva for years. We never heard there was a shaiva on the loiva. We never heard that there was a shaiva. So the we paskan in the Shulchan Aruch, even though the loiva makes a kiyum on the shaiva, if the shaiva is any mekuyim, it's worthless. So it would appear that it's not that the Chachamim gave them monas to taina mezuyev. It does make sense. The malva should be nemet to taina mezuyev lahotzi mamon from the loiva to taina mezuyev on the shaiva. It would appear that it's not that they gave him the ability the monas to taina mezuyev. They said a shtar sheni mekuyim is not a valid shtar. So the meduber, the case in the Gemara is, father died, the Yerushim found the shtar in his office, and they want the loiva to pay. And the loiva produces a shaiva mekuyim. And he says, I don't want to pay, I paid already. He has a kiyum hashtar. And still be paskan like Rav Chama, that since it's fishy over here, we should have heard about this the last 5 years. The debt was due 5 years ago. The father just died now. 5 years after the time the debt was due. And we never heard there was a shaiva. So since the shaiva was never heard of during the lifetime of the father, there's a shtikl raglan ledover that maybe ziyuf is zayfe. Maybe the whole thing is a forgery. Even though it's a shaiva mekuyim. That's a chiddush. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Even the Rishonim say it. In the Shita Mekubetz, it's talking the shaiva as mekuyim. Because that's what it says, the last daf in the first parak in Bob Metzia. That not only do you need kiyum ashtar or ashtar halvor for the malva to collect from the loiva, the malva has to be mekayim ashtar. If the loiva produces the shaiver, and he says paraiti, and here's the shaiver, The mother can say mizuyif on the shayver, and the shayver falls apart. Whoever heard, they can taina. There's a nemonis, baldim tainotzi lehotzi mamon from the muchzok. You motzi mamon from the loiva based on your taina mizuyif. The answer is, it's not that they gave you nemonis to taina mizuyif. They said, shtar sheinim ukiyim doesn't have the status of a shtar. So a shayver also needs a key. So the Gemara says, we pass on like Rav Chama over here. That there's something very fishy over here. How come he never heard during the lifetime of the father that there was a shayver? So therefore, we wouldn't collect with the shtar halva that the children found in the father's office, because the loiva, on the one hand, the loiva has a shayver, but on the other hand, we're not going to rip up the shtar halva that they found, because maybe the shayver is a forgery. What do you mean a forgery? Because we never heard the last 5 years after this man halva was up, never heard that there was a shayver. So it's fishy. So that's why the Gemara said, we pass on like Rav Chama. We don't rip up the shtar halva that they found in the father's office, but we don't collect the money either. So we treat it like it's still a sofek. Very surprising Gemara. Then we discuss the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah seems to shed light on the opening Mishnah. Mishnah assumes all the people who live in the city are considered like shutvim with respect to the issues that they share in common. So what do they share in common? So that's what I said. If you live in a democracy and you pay taxes, taxes are not paid to enrich the government. The mayor of the city is entitled to a salary. He does work. If you don't like him, so don't re-elect him. So you shouldn't have elected him in the first place. He was elected because the majority of the people want him to run the city. The governor of the state is entitled to his salary. We elected him. Maybe we made a mistake. Maybe we shouldn't have elected him. So next election, we're not going to elect him. He resigned on his own. He stepped down on his own. So all the people that live in the city have the status of shutvim. And shutvim, let's say people are shutvim in a shoe business, in a grocery store, in a department store, whatever. So the din is that they all share they all divide the profits together, and then they have to discuss the future of the business. Should they sell more of these things? Should they sell less? Or should they open another store? Should they close one of the stores? So you have to have meetings from time to time, and there's always going to be chilukei deis. The Gemara has an expression: kishem shein partzufim daim zelazeh, kachein de zeim daim zelazeh. People don't look the same. The facial features are not the same. So their opinions are also not the same. So you're always going to have machlokes, always going to have chiluki deis. So the din is that you go basarai. When you have a shutvim, you go basarai. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote that from the Tosefta. Tosefta says, when you have a whole shutvim, so 10, 20 shutvim, there is a chiluki deis, which direction to go. So you follow the roif. So the religious Jews who live in New York City don't need public schools. We send our children to private schools, to yeshivas. But the majority of the people who live in New York City don't need public schools. And the Jews also feel they need public schools for the goyim. They're not going to have public schools. They'll grow up as wild Indians. They won't know how to run a normal society. So the majority of the people in New York City feel you need public schools. Then the majority of people in New York City feel that we need some museums. And we feel that we need some forests. And we need highways, and we need red lights and green lights, and we need water purification, we need mail delivery, and we need a lot of things. We need. So we are considered shutvim on three different levels. On the federal level, because there's some things that the federal government takes care of. The mail delivery, we need an army to protect the country from the enemies, from attacks and so on. Then there's some things that the state government takes care of, the highways and the forests, and then there's some things that the municipal government takes care. So we have the din of shutvim on three different levels. So usually the din of shutvim is if you have a whole bunch of shutvim in a business, so whatever the rabbi says, the miut has to go along. If they're not happy about it, so they let them sell their share in the shutvim to someone else who will agree with the conditions that they're having. But that's the din of shutvim. The miut has to go along with the rabbi. What happens, let's say, so all the people who live in the city have a din of shutvim. So let's say some of the miut and the Jewish people have additional needs. The goyim don't need a mikveh, they don't need a shul. And the Jewish people need a mikveh, they need a Beis HaKnesses. So let's say, right over the people, don't want, they just started a little village, right over the people do not want to pay for a mikveh, it's going to cost a fortune. They'll drive to the next village and use the mikveh there. Shabbos and Yontov, they can't drive, so they'll wait to go to mikveh until Matzoh Shabbos, Matzoh Yontov. So let's say, right over the people do not want a mikveh, and the miyot of the people want a mikveh. So they have dinim in Shulchan Aruch based on Tosefta's that there are certain cases where the miut wins. Let's say the miut says, I want a mikveh in my town. I don't want to have to go to the next town for Shabbos and Yom. So since that's the correct position to take, that's more correct than the others who say, we'll wait till Matzoi Shabbos to go to the mikveh. So then the miut wins out over there. Or let's say, the rov of the people don't want to have a shul. They'll alternate every week, they'll daven in someone else's basement, in someone else's home. And the miut of the people, if no one wants a shul, so they're not going to build a shul. But if the miut want a shul, and the rov don't want a shul, so then the din is in Shulchan Aruch, and Hilchos Shluchim and Shutfim. And when you look in the Mishnah Berurah, Chelek Beis, after Hilchos Shachris, has all the dinim, Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. So the Mishnah Berurah refers you to Choshen Mishpot, with the dinim are that the people who live in the city can be kai for each other to build the shul. Even the miut can be kai for the roiv. Let's say the miut want to have an eruv and the roiv do not want to have an eruv. The miut feel they need an eruv. So the Tosefta says the miut can be kai for the roiv. Usually the roiv is kai for the miut, whatever the roiv says. But over here, if under the circumstances the Rabbanim Akaveya, that the miut is making the more reasonable request, then the miut even has the right to be kai for the roiv. So that's what the Mishnah has a machloikas. You say in every city it makes sense to be kaifa all of the people in the city to put up extra money in order to build a chayma, to lasaimba, uvriach, around the city, only if the city is near the border when the enemy may come and attack. So that was a machloikas hatanam. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, not all ayaris, lo kol ayaris ruyas lachayma. And the same thing, a chotzer. Not every chotzer is right to make a beishar. It doesn't make sense. So that's a machlokes hatanaim. Is that always the correct taina? And if that's always the correct taina, even the miut has a right to be koy for the rabbim, like for the erev, like for the shul, like for the mikveh. Or do you say no? It's not always the correct taina. So then it depends on the roif. So that's a shame. How long do they have to live in the city to be considered one of the shutfim? So the Mishnah says 12 months. Unless you bought a home, then right away you can't share it. But if you rent there for 12 months, then you're considered one of the shutfim. Either din is that there are other halachas where all you have to do is live there for 30 days. And Mar says, yeah, but you're not a shutf. The Mishnah Berurah quoted then a Choshen Mishpat, the dinim are forcing each other to build the shulchan and hilchos shluchim and shutfim. We consider all the people in the city as the shutfim. So that's only if you bought a home in the city or if you've rented for over 12 months. But if you didn't live there for 12 months or you didn't buy a home, then you're not one of the shutfim, not one of the bnei huyir, but you are yoshvi huyir. If you live there for 30 days, they're considered yoshvi huyir. And therefore, as one of the yoshvi huyir, they have a right to be kai for you on certain tzedakas. Yeah, where else is this a concept? In Loshem Bnei Adam, there's such a concept. B'nidorm ha'loichach ha'loshem Bnei Adam. When a person takes a neder, what's included in the nether, what's not included, all depends on the usage of the language. The Miri has repeated every daf in the Dorm, in the middle of the Dorm, around 20-30 blad, where the Mishnah says that the person took a nether XYZ, what's included, what's not included. Took a nether ABC, what's included, what's not included. So the Gemara works out what the Lashon is taught. So the Miri keeps on repeating on all of those things, and the Shulchan Aruch, they quote everything. So the Miri says, whatever it says in the Mishnah is not necessarily relevant in the days of Rabbi Yosef Karo and the Shulchan Aruch. He says, that's what the Hebrew language meant, Bo'os HaMokam Bo'os HaZman. In the days of the Tanoim who lived in Eretz Yisrael, if you said a neder with that language, that's what's included, that's not what's included. But the usage of the language changes over the generations. Every language is like that. No one speaks the language the way it was originally. Every language develops over the years. And you have a different usage of words. They mean different things in different generations. So the Gemara says, if a person, the Gemara quotes a din, if a person takes a neder, in the days of the Tanaim, people used to have big machlokes in with each other, and used to take an eder to be muda hanoah, take an eder not to get any hanoah from you. I don't like you. I don't want to get any hanoah. I make an eder. You shouldn't be allowed to get any hanoah from me. I cannot take an eder on you that you're not allowed to eat bananas that you buy in the store. I don't own the bananas, and I'm not you. But I can make an eder offering my bananas on you. I can take an eder offering all bananas on me. I'm a balabos on myself. I'm a balabos on my bananas. I can make an eder that you're not allowed to eat the bananas in the store. I'm not a balabos on you. I'm not a balabos on the bananas if they're not mine. So in Mishnah, you have funny cases. Amud ano mechaver. They didn't get along. And he took a neder, he shouldn't be allowed to get hanoah from me, or I shouldn't be allowed to get hanoah from him. That when they would be angry at each other, they would take different kinds of neder. So the question is, he takes a neder not to get hanoah from Anshe Ho'ir, or from Yoshvei Ho'ir. What does that mean? So the days of the Tanaim, Dorm Haloch Achlo Losh Miliyod. In the days of the Tanaim, there was a difference. So Yoshvei Ho'ir means, if a person lives in the city, he only rented for 30 days, it's called one of the Yoshvei Ho'ir. If he lives there for less than 30 days, it's not even called Yoshvei Ho'ir. He's traveling through New York. He stays over in a hotel overnight. That's not called Yoshvei Ho'ir. If he stays for more than 30 days, then it's called Yoshvei Ho'ir. And if he stays for more than a year, then it's called Anshe Ho'ir. Yeah. So that's in Benedorim Halacha Achalosh Miyadim, if he took such a neder. Here it's relevant to Halacha. If he stays for a year, or if he buys a home, then he's considered one of the shutfim in the city. And he get to taking the vote about spending money. Who's mechuyev to pay for the wall around the city and so on? So all of the shutfim are mechuyev to pay. All those are shutfim are mechuyev to pay. The Gemara says, Talmid Chachamim, even if they live in the city and they're shutfim, so it depends what are they collecting money for. If they're collecting money in order to purify the water, so the Talmid Chacham also need pure water. They don't want to die. So they also have to, just because the Talmid Chacham, it doesn't mean a miracle is going to happen. They're going to drink the polluted water. They're going to get sick. So they have to pay for the water purification also. Or let's say they want to dig a well in order to get some water. So that's necessary. But if they want to pay to build a wall for the purpose of protection, so the Gemara says, Talmid Chacham and don't need shmir. And then with different Tanoim and Amaroim, levy the tax in the city for the purpose of collecting money to build a wall around the city for protection. So some of them levy the tax on the Talmid Chacham. So he said, you violated a din that's in the Torah, and in the Nevi'im, in the Nixuvim. It says in all of Tanakh, the Talmid Chacham don't need shmirah. But they do need the pure water. So if they're collecting money to dig a well, Talmid Chacham have to pay also. If they're collecting money to purify the water, Talmid Chacham have to chip in their share. But if they're collecting money to have army, to have soldiers, the protection, so then Talmid Chacham don't need the protection. What if they're not collecting money to dig a well, they're taking turns. The whole population is going to help dig the well. So the first of the month, these people have to do. It's going to take a couple of months. The first day in the week, the first day in the month, a group of people have to dig. The second day, another group of people. The third day, a whole bunch of other people have to dig. So to dig a well in order to have water, Talmid Chacham should be mechuyev to do that also. But if the nature of the obligation is that they have to come in person to dig the well, so the Gemara says that's a bizoyna term. So the Talmid Chacham don't have to go. Even though they need pure water, they don't have to go dig the well. But if you're collecting money to pay the people to dig a well, Talmid Chacham have to give their share. But they also need it. What if you have Yisaimim who live in the city? So do you make them pay? So the Gemara says, yeah, for whatever is necessary, there should be them in the city also. Make them pay their share as well. What about do you make them pay tzedokah, mitam chinuch, Yisaimim ktanim? Do you make the Yisaimim ktanim pay to have an apotropos who's taking care of them? So do you mechayev the apotropos to take some of the money of the Yisaimim that they should give? So the Gemara has on the last line, on Chesam and Aleph, Ein poiskin tzedakah the Yisaimim, afilu l'pinyon shvuyim. Even though pinyon shvuyim is the highest form of tzedakah, and the ktanim abnei chinuch, they're old enough to understand chinuch, that's what they're mechayev to do. So the Gemara says, there's no chinuch on tzedakah. They're not mechayev to mechanech them on tzedakah. We don't have chinuch on everything, like we mentioned. There's a machlokes in the days of the Goyim. If a relative of the Seimim Ktanim died, then they have to observe Avelus. So we pass on Shulchan Aruch, there's no Avelus on Ktanim. Even though the Mechuyim and Chinuch, for some reason or another, there's no Chinuch on Avelus. And we pass on, there's no Chinuch on fasting on Tisha B'Av, Shivasa B'Tamas, on Gedalia, fasting on Yom Kippur. The Mishnah says in the last parak on Yom, there is Chinuch. But fasting on the fast days, on the Taneisim, that there's no chinuch on that. So here also the Gemara said, there's no chinuch. There's no chinuch on giving tzedakah. I think Gemara said there was once in a situation where they made the Yisraelim give money to tzedakah. The Gemara says, yeah, they were very, it was a prominent family and they had an awful lot of money. And the Amoraim thought that would enhance their prestige in the eyes of the people in the community. If they'll put on a building that this is the Razna Shechta building for higher Jewish studies, that the Yisraelim paid for that building, so this will enhance their chashivas. They'll get a better shidduch later, and people will want to do business with them later. So that's an investment for the future. So strictly speaking, you're not koyfing the Yisraelim to give the regular mitzvah tzedakah that you have to give all the time tzedakah. But if the special occasion, chad pami, special occasion, that the Rabbanim feel that this will pay off in the end, this will give cover to the Yisraelim, people will treat them nicely because of the fact that they're participating in the tzedakah campaign. So then you have a right to make them pay. The Gemara had a surprising din that if the community wants to dig a well and may not be successful, they can pay a fortune of money and dig and dig and they won't find any water. So all of the people in the community have to put up money to pay to attempt to try to dig a well. So the Gemara says to take from the Yisraelim, that's only if you know that it's going to be successful. But if you don't know in advance that it's going to be successful, then the Gemara says it's not right to take from the Yisraelim because Yasmik, Simktanim, Alabe, Labne Mechila Ninim. Ktanim are not B'nai Mechila. That's a surprising thing. Well, what do you mean? Not B'nai Mechila. But over here, what do you need mechila? All of the people in the city have to pay to attempt to try to get water. And if it doesn't work, so they won't mechiv to try again a second time. Why? So the Gemara, the Amora who did it, made them pay, said, he's keeping a record, and if it turns out that it was not successful the first time, then he's going to reimburse the money to these. I don't understand. Why should you reimburse it? Why aren't they mechiv like everybody else to pay to attempt to find the water? I don't know, we should look in the Rishonim to find out why the Gemara says Yasmi Lav Bnei Mechila Ninu. There's a din of a katan shegiya le'onis haputos. Let's say the father died and he leaves little children, none of them are bar mitzvah. But they're old enough, they're 8, 9 years old, they understand what it means Mecca Chamemka, they understand what it means business, so they want to make some money. So let's say they're going to sell oranges. They're going to sell arabas. They have a little kid selling arabas. They sell esrogim, hadassim, whatever. They're going to deliver newspapers, whatever. They want to make a little money. So the Gemara says, min ha-Torah, the Rambam starts off a perek in the end of Hilchos Mechira like that. So at the very end, perek Chof Tes, I think. Shloisha e-mikcha mekach e-memker e-memker dintor. There are three people, cherishot v'kotten, hu'ala b'nei das. And they can't do mekach hamemka min ha-Torah. But with the Rabbanan, they made a takana that the kotn shigiyah lo, and it's haputos, if he's old enough to understand, kebar shis, kebar sheva, 6 years old, 7 years old, he's intelligent enough to understand what it means. You're selling, buying, and you're paying money, and so on. This is mine, this is yours. Little children say, everything is mine, everything is mine. The other baby's toys, everything is mine. When the child is old enough to understand, this is mine, this is yours, and it costs money, and so on. And he knows what it means. Mekach hamemka. That's a gilo and a saputas kebar shis kebar sheva. He's 6, 7 years old. Then he can deal in business on his own. So the Rambam says, "Mid rabbanon, we say mikra mekach hamemker hamemka b'metaltalin, not in karka. In karka, even after bar mitzvah, we wouldn't let him sell karka until he reaches the age of 20. Karka, you have to understand. And why you? They lost a fortune of money. They sold. They didn't consult the right people." They sold, they had a few apartment buildings over here and they sold them for 1/3 the price that they were worth because they were mechuyev a few million dollars. So that's scandalous. So the Gemara says, a child who yashins karka, if the kid sold Kool-Aid and he made so much money that he bought his own karka. So then, if he made millions of dollars, he bought his own karka, then he can sell his own karka. But if it's a karka that he got birusha from the father, we don't let him sell it till he reaches the age of 20. He's already bar mitzvah at the age of 13. You have to be 20 to understand real estate, unless you're the one who bought the real estate. So then, obviously, you do understand what's going on. So the Rambam quotes that din, that haputas mikra mekach mamkera memka dimetaltalim, and it's the same as an adult, that the laws of Aino apply, that if he made a mistake less than shtus, so it's a mechila, and if he made a mistake in shtus, it's kona or machzor Aino, and if it's yes in shtus, then the lekeh who got cheated has a right to back out from the whole deal. So the Ravid is masing on the Rambam. What do you mean? Ktanim. Less than 13 years old. Ketanim la b'nei mechila nino. How can the Rambam say if they caught and made a mistake and the mistake was less than shtus, so then pachas ben shtus is mechila, but ketanim la b'nei mechila nino. So Rav Soloveitchik thought pshat in the Rambam was that it doesn't mean if he sell merchandise, I sold something and I sold it for the wrong price. Either I charge too much or I charge too little when I sold it. So there was a mistake of less than shtus. The thing was should have sold for $100, and he sold it for $90. So it's $10 off. $10 is a significant amount of money, but it's less than shtus. Less than 1/6 of the whole price. So the din, pachas b'shtus and mechila, that means we assume the person's really moichel. What if he screams bloody murder, I'm not moichel? It doesn't matter. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that it's a din mechila. The Chachamim declared. The Allah declares it's a din mechila. You don't need that. Actually, the person should be moichel. Even if he screams, I'm not moichel, it's still pachas b'shtus. You cannot ask for your... cannot demand that he should reimburse you the money that he cheated you. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that it doesn't mean like that. And others say no. Others say that once the katan is higil l'shach, the Chasham Ishba says, Pshat and the Rambam, that once the katan is higil l'oynes haputos, so with the Rabbanon we say has enough seichel to understand how to do kebashis kebasheva. 6 years old, 7 years old, he understands enough in business to know what it means to sell and to buy. So he is enough of a bardas to deal in business with the Rabbanon, so he's enough of a bardas to be moichel also. We don't say ketanim lab. Ketanim lab b'nei mechila nina means on the level of the raisa. But if you're dealing with a cotton shigil or a saputas, so if you have a cotton who has parents, he's not a yosim, so they never made a takana for him. Then mikra mekach mamkera mamka b'metal. Mishum kadei chaya. The takana was on behalf of a cotton who's a yosim. But if the kid is a yosim and he's kebashis, kebashev, higil or a saputas, he has a little seichel. So just like he has enough seichel to do mekach and mamkar, he has enough seichel to make a mechila as well. That's so the Shach Paskan's halacha like that. So that he thought is questionable. He thought that Pachas Mishtus Mechila is not to be taken literally. He thought it didn't really mean that it's Mechila. We had a shaila. What's the minimum amount? Everyone has an obligation to give tzedakah. Even a poor man has an obligation to give tzedakah. What's the minimum amount that you have to give for tzedakah? A pruta. Usually this year in the Kaddish and Isha is pruta karka is nicknames, but pruta, there's a Mishnah in the end of Perakazot. Chamish pruta say. There are 5 dinim that depend on a shavah pruta. So tzedakah also. There's a shaila, let's say, matanas lev yanim, apurim. What's the, so, shlachman is you have to give 2 macholim. You have to give 2 macholim. Let's say I give 2 jelly beans. I'm yotzei. Matanas lev yanim, give 2 jelly beans. You can buy 10 jelly beans for a penny. So I'm going to give 2 jelly beans, yotzei, matanas lev yanim. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the chayodam, you're not yotzei, it has to be 2. Mana means a portion of food that you would serve in a meal. Let's say a piece of meat. Doesn't have to be the size of a whole steak. When you go to a restaurant and you buy a steak, they give you a steak that's big enough for 3 meals. because they want you to pay a fortune of money for the steak. And usually you leave over an awful lot. You can't eat so much. They want to make money, so they sell you a gigantic size. But let's say the smaller size of steak that you would normally put on someone's plate, or let's say a piece of kugel. So you give a piece of kugel and you give a piece of meat, a piece of fish, whatever. That's two manas. You're going to give two jelly beans. That's not a course in a meal. Even if you give a whole bag full of jelly beans, the chayyadim, the Mishnah quotes the chayyadim, he doesn't think that that's good. It has to be manas, courses in a meal, something that you would normally eat in a meal. Jelly bean is a snack. You're going to give one piece of popcorn and one potato chip. That's not two manas. That's not shlach manas. So how much money do you have to give for matanas levyanim? So some achrayim say a pruta. It's a little funny. What can he use? What can the ani use the pruta for? You can't buy anything with a pruta. There's very little. What can you? It's very questionable. So some achrayim disagree. They say no. In the days of the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, in the days of the Gemara, they used the. How did they fulfill matanas levyanim? They would collect money in the community. They would make a big suda for all the aniyim. And have all the aniyim eat the meal. So that was the way they all did matanas levyanim. So some say you have to give so much money that the ani will be able to have a whole meal. Doesn't have to be a whole meal with a steak, with five desserts and so many different courses. Enough meal, enough money to buy a salami sandwich, to buy food for one meal. Anyway, so that's the shaila. How much money, what's the minimum amount of money that you have to give to the Yotzei Tzedakah? If I'm going to give a penny every year, for sure I'm not Yotzei. I make a person that makes a normal panasa is mechuyev to give accordingly. Not everyone is mechuyev to give the same amount. Ishkimat and siyot de kibirka sasham akecha, ashenasam lach, the wealthy people are not Yotzei if they give the amount of money for Tzedakah that the poorer people give. Just like Oyla Sri and Shalmich Agiga, the Pasuk says, Oyla Sri Ish Gmat Nesiyadik Yirkas Hashem Akech Hashem Asamach. So the Mishnah says in the first parak in Chagiga, if the person has a big family, is going to Yerushalayim, has a big family, then he has to buy more Shalmich Agiga, has to have more flesh that they should eat. If he has a very small family, no one's going to eat, so then let him bring more Oyla Sri. He burn the whole thing on the Mizbech anyway. Nobody eats it. Isheishlo ochle merubin should bring more chagigah, shalom chagigah, will have what to eat. And if he doesn't have ochle merubin, has a lot of money, let him bring a lot of oilas. And if he doesn't have so much money, he doesn't have so many people in the family, and neither, so then you can make a shutfus with another 25 people and buy a big behemah, and then you'll be yotzei oilas with that. You can have 1,000 people chip in to buy one behemah. So tzedakah is one of those mitzvahs that it's not the same for everybody. Learning Torah. You're mechuyev to learn to the extent that you have free time. So people who work all day long, so they're not mechuyev to learn all day long. They're mechuyev to learn a little bit every day. People who are students, so they have more time on their hands. They're not working for a living. So then they're mechuyev to learn more. To the extent that you're able to learn, you're mechuyev to learn. To give tzedakah, that's ishkimat and siyadah. Yes, how much, what's the minimum of tzedakah? So it says in Shulchan Aruch, they quote this Gemara, the minimum amount of tzedakah that you have to give is the shlishis hashekel. The Gemara quotes it from the pasuk. Where is that here? Madno aleinu, 10 lines from the bottom of Tesam and Aleph. The Gemara quotes the pasuk. Madno aleinu mitzvahs. What does it say? To give losses aleinu shlishis hashekel bashana la'avodas beis elokein. Tesam says, how can you derive from that tzedakah? That they gave it to the Beis HaMikdash, but talk not stock of anim. So it's a good question, but that's what it said in Shulchan Aruch. That the minimum amount you have to give is just shlishis hashekel. You have to figure out how much that is. Okay. He said that for pinyan aven purposes, you have to give 96 grams of pure silver. So how much is that? So that's pinyan aven is 5 shkol. So if you want to know how much is shlishis hashekel, that's 1/15 of pinyan aven. The Shach writes in Chosh Mishmu, Shach lived in Vilna in the 1600s. He had a run for his life when they had all the Chmelnytsky riots. That's called the Gzeres Tach V'Tah in 1648. And 1649 was Tach V'Tah. So he ran away from Vilna. Many Gdolim lived in Vilna at that time. They all had to run. But for many years he lived in Vilna. So he writes that in Hilchus Tzedakah, you're there, he writes that the minig used to be that the Gabbai went around by the davening to collect tzedakah only on Monday and Thursday. So what's up, Monday and Thursday is a bigger mitzvah to give tzedakah than the rest of the week. What is that supposed to represent? He's not sure. So he's guessing. So he thinks that the smallest coin that existed at that time, if you're going to give one coin, one of the smallest coins that they had, every week, Monday, Thursday, sometimes Yontif falls on a Monday or Thursday. So if you give every Monday or Thursday that it's shaykh to, that it's not Yontif, you will have given slightly more than a shlishis ha-shekel. So he thinks, he's guessing, maybe that's the reason why they instituted that practice. That it should turn out that everyone should give the shlishis ha-shekel every year. Yeah. That's what the Gemara says based on the pasuk. Then we had a fascinating Tosfos on Chesam Beis, a world famous Tosfos, Achfir Rav Nosson. The Rava established that Rav Nosson was a wealthy man. He wasn't giving enough tzedakah. He gave more than shlishis ha-shekel, but he didn't give in accordance with how much money he earned. He should give more. So the Gemara sounds like it says, Rava was kofer Rav Nachman, Rava was kofer Rav Nosson, to give more money to tzedakah. So Tosfos has akasha. There is a Gemara in Chulin, the beginning of Perek Kol HaBosar, but the Gemara says that there was a character, there was a kid, who was mezalzal kibud aviyeh. So the Chachamim wanted to beat him up, to teach him a lesson. So the Gemara says, no, you don't. A mitzvah says, Shematan tzchara b'tzida, ein bezden shalmata musorim aleho. Bezden shalmata means the bezden of, not the bezden shalmaila, the bezden of Rabbonim, is mechuyev to be koyfer people to observe the mitzvahs. At the end of the Tosfos, they tell you, look in Ksubas Daf Pevov, where it says, a fellow doesn't want to sit in sukkah, doesn't want to shake a loaf, doesn't want to eat matzah, he beat him up till he drops dead. You say, you want to eat the matzah? He says, no. He beat him up. He still don't want to eat the matzah. No, he refuses. So it sounds like he beat him up. That's Tosfos quotes the Lashon. The last line in the Tosfos. Sounds very strange. Till he drops dead. How can it be? So Rabbi Chaim Heller put out the... Chaim Heller was a big Talmud Chacham when I was in high school, I think. He passed away. Rav Soloveitchik, when Rav Soloveitchik was going to the university in Berlin, Rav Chaim Heller had a base medrash in Berlin. He had big Talmud Chachamim. You had to know half of Shas in order to be allowed to learn his base medrash. Rav Soloveitchik used to talk and learning a lot with him. And his father was in America. Moshe Soloveitchik was here teaching in Yeshiva and Yeshiva College at that time. There was no university. It was Yeshiva College. So and to talk to Rav Chaim Moshe, you had to go travel to Vilna. And Rav Chaim Heller was there. Rav Soloveitchik considered him his Rebbe. He used to talk to him a lot in learning. And after the war was over, and they were Rav Soloveitchik came to America, and Rav Chaim Heller came, he used to ask him shalos every so often. He was kofer to him. He was Masada Kiddushin by his children's weddings and so on. So Rav Chaim Heller in Europe put out a new edition of the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs. It was during the lifetime of the Chafetz Chaim. And they say the Chafetz Chaim said, now that we have this corrected edition, you're not about to use the old edition. Because the Gemara says in Ksubas, in the second parak, that the Pasuk says, if you have a Sefer Shein Amuga, you have a Sefer that has mistakes in it, Sefer and learning that has mistakes in it, you're not allowed to keep it in the house, based on the Pasuk. Al Tashkem Ba'alecha Avlo. You're not allowed to keep, let's say, I have a shtar halvoah that was paid already. So I should rip it up. What do I have in my office? My children, when I die, my children will think that it wasn't collected yet, and they're going to go collect that money. So whenever you have a shtar halvoah that's paid already, a shtar peruah, you should rip it up. You're not allowed to leave it in the house. You're not allowed to leave a sefer sheinu mugah. So they say, Rav Chaim Heller, so the Chofetz Chaim said it. Now that Rav Chaim Heller put out this new edition, a corrected edition of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, now you shouldn't use the old edition anymore. Everybody's still using the old edition. But anyway, Rav Chaim Heller has footnotes on the bottom of the page. So every so often he shows that the one who translated it, the Tiban, whoever translated the Rambam's, the Sefer HaMitzvot was written in Arabic, and we used the Hebrew translation. Every so often he made a mistake, and he mistranslated. He didn't know Arabic. That he writes in on his own. He writes in the Hakdamah to his translation, I don't really know Arabic so well, but I'm going to attempt to give an accurate translation. So it was always assumed for many generations that he just wrote that out of humility. So Rav Chaim Eller said, no, Pitaka didn't know Arabic so well. He says, every so often he made a mistake. Now they have better translations, because the Rav Chaim Eller just kept the old translation that's a stilted Hebrew. It's word-for-word translation. The sentences don't read straight. He took the old translation and just touched it up here and there whenever there was a mistake. Now they have translations that the Hebrew reads normally. It reads like easy Hebrew, not like such crazy Hebrew. Kapach made his own translation. Others have their own translations. So Rav Chaim Eller, in the footnote, in one place, he quotes a sheet of Mukubetzes on that daf, and Ksub is daf Pevot. The Makanosa Chetetsa Nafsha doesn't mean you keep on beating him up. He doesn't want to eat matzah, you keep on beating him up till he drops dead. So the sheet of Mukubetzes said, Chetetsa Nafsha means till he becomes unconscious. Once he's unconscious, he can't ask him, will you eat the matzah? He's not going to answer. So you have no right to keep on beating him up till he drops dead. So he softens it a little bit. Not literally, agitates, not usually it's yes, neshama means till someone drops dead. See, you shouldn't take it literally. Agitates enough show just means till he becomes unconscious. Okay. But usually, I say, suke shen oise, lula pe shen oise, matze, he does money. Makanos agitates enough show. So you kaif ala mitzvah. So the Gemara says, but it's a mitzvah like kibir aviyim. That's matn tzchor b'tzida on the aseres hadibus. Says kabbidus v'lichus mecha l'man yarichon yamecha. So the Torah promises a reward for observance of that mitzvah. Yaman yarichon mecha says a few times in the chumash. People make a mistake. They think it only says by kibur aviyim or by shaluach hakan, because the Gemara tells the story that what happened with Elisha ben Avuya. Why did he become an apikoros? So the Gemara tells him, yeah, Nechulin, that he saw a child listening to the father. Father told him to do Shiloh HaKan. And the Chumash singles out these two mitzvahs. It says, L'man Yarichon Yamecha, by Shiloh HaKan. It says, by Kibur Aviyim. So he was doing both together, and then he fell down from the ladder, and he got killed. So he became an apikoros. He gave up his whole belief in the whole Torah because of that story. So people know that Agadatir, so they think that's the only two places where it says, L'man Yarichon Yamecha. Says man yarich amecha in the chumash, honesty in business. Also, they should have honest scales, in tzedek and so on. Honesty in business. Other mitzvahs also says man yarich amecha. These are not the only two. So the Gemara says whenever there's a mitzvah saseh, sounds like it's a general klal. Not only keep it aviyem. Whenever kol mitzvah saseh, any mitzvah shematn tzchor b'tzido, the Torah promises a reward. Then the bezin shal matan. The bezin is not mechuyev to be koyfa ala mitzvahs. Why? The fact that the Chumash promises a reward, that should be enough of an encouragement to encourage people that they should do the mitzvah. It doesn't have to chase after them. So that's what Tosis is bothered with Akasha. It says, Pasachet tifta chisyot chalachicha ananayecha ki b'galal adav azay yivarechach Hashem alakecha. The Torah promises when you give tzedakah to the poor, you will be blessed because of that. So giving charity should also be considered a mitzvah saseh. So the din should be ain't bezin shal matam azar malah. Benzin is not mechuyev to be kaifa. So Akam Rava was kaifa over here. Rava was kaifa Rab Nasan that he wasn't giving enough tzedakah. Why shouldn't it be the same as kibur aviyim that you're not kaifa? So Tosfos gives two answers. One answer is the Gemara doesn't say that bezin has no right to be kaifa. The Gemara says they're not mezar malah. If they won't be kaifa, they won't be punished for not doing their job. If they want to be kaifa for kibur av, they may. But they don't have to. So the arosa, if they don't want to be kaifa on tzedakah, they don't have to. But if they want to, they have a right to. That was one suggestion that Tosfos gives. And Anoshim, that's what they quote the Ritzvah. What did the Rabbeinatam say? Rabbeinatam quotes a Gemara in Ksubis, where it says that we are Ksubis Dafnun Vav or something. Where it says that there was someone read a shidduch and they pressured, I think, the boy's father to agree to give so much money to the young couple when they get married to support them. So kaif over there doesn't mean they beat him up. If he doesn't want, he doesn't have to. Kaif means they humiliated him till he agreed. They embarrassed him. There's kfiya bidvarim and kfiya bishaitim. The Gemara has these lushanas. You have, a lot of times in the Gemara it says, if a man is being unfair to his wife, then she has a right to demand that she wants a get. And if he doesn't mind, give her the get. So the bezin is kaifa. So sometimes you kaifa bishaiti. Shaiti means with sticks. Avi yisereschem bishaitim. Ani yasereschem ba'akrabim. That's what who said. Rachavam, I think, said like that. Shaitim means a twig, a branch of a tree that you hit the people. So sometimes there's kviya bishaitim. Sometimes there's kviya bidvarim. You talk to the person. You have a right to humiliate him in public and so on. Sometimes you say that bidvarim lo yusar nar, that a fool will not listen to the tochach if you just say a bunch of words. You have to beat him up. So the Gemara has sometimes you kaif bimili, sometimes you only encourage the husband that he should give his wife a get, and sometimes you kaif bishaiti. In Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbanut will sometimes put a person in prison if he doesn't want to give his wife a get. That'll take away his passport, so he can't travel, his driver's license. They can make life miserable for him if he doesn't give a get. So that's like kfiya b'shaitim. That's really kfiya. And kfiya b'dvarim is just, you tell him that you're not doing the right thing. That's a shaila. The Gemara has, very often what happens is a couple is married and the wife decides she doesn't like the husband anymore. When they were dating, she liked him and she thought it's a good shidduch, and now she has charata. So she says, I don't want to live with this guy anymore. Moyes alai. So the Rambam paskins in the case of Moshe Allah, you kaifa, the Rambam right, you kaifa the husband, you beat him up, you put him in jail and you take away his driver's license and so on. Make life miserable for him. And usually that's not the psak hamkubus, but very often that's a problem. The wife wants a get and the husband doesn't want to give it a get. And the wife says, I can't stand the husband. So according to the Rambam, you are kaifa. So this Rabbi Kapach, the one who made all the new translations for all the Rambams, so Kapach was in the Rabbanut for many years. He used to follow Svardish Psak for the Svardim. So he would put the guy in jail. If the wife said, Moyes alai, that's not the Psak HaMkubo. So he would always find a tziruf, another reason why to put him in jail. But basically he followed the Rambam, that if the wife says, Moyes alai, I can't stand the husband anymore. So the Rambam writes a Loshim, but Eretz Yisrael are not Kishvuyas Chorib, they're not prisoners of war. Just because she agreed to marry the guy, she doesn't have to suffer forever. She wants out of the marriage. Then you have a right to be koi for the husband. And all over the world, they don't do that. That's not the psak hamakubin. You're not koi for on that. You're just koi for bidvarim, but you're not koi for bishaitim. Anyway, so that's what the two suggestions that Tezga Rabbi Natam says. Maybe kvi over him is kvi bidvarim. Maybe Robert convinced him that he's not acting properly. He should give more. And the Ritva says no. The Ritva, the Balatez. Maybe they really beat him up till he gave more money for tzedakah. I ain't bezim shamatim sharma. That means that bezim will not be punished if they won't kai for him, but if they want to be kai for him, they can. And then we said in the yeshivas, they say other suggestions. So one suggestion is based on the shittim kubetzes, that there's a difference between kfiya to force a person to do a mitzvah or gviya shibudim. If he owes money to somebody, if he owes money, you go and you take the money and you give it to the malveh. That's not, the Gemara said there was one opinion that was the Tosfos on him in the days. This is quote a machlokes from the end of the Masechta, from Erechin, machlokes rapot and rabuna be'erdi Rebbe Yeshua. Why is ein efray minichse yisamim k'tanim akein ribas achelas b'em? Why don't you collect it all? So Rapapa's opinion was not accepted. The Gemara said, we rejected it. He says, because Yasmi Allah b'nei me'evid mitzvah nina. That Priyas Bachayv is only a mitzvah. There's no such thing you mechayv to pay money. It's one of the religious mitzvahs. You have to be a religious man. And if the fellow doesn't want to eat matzah, doesn't want to sit in the sukkah, so you beat him up. So if he doesn't want to do the mitzvah, so you beat him up, you pay for him to pay. But if the Yisayimim Ktanim, so then you're not going to be koi for them. The Yisayimim Ktanim, you're not going to be koi for them to pay the father's chayv. You're not, even though there's a din of chinuch, that if the Ktanim are higil chinuch, you should see to it that they do. They should daven every day, and so on. But some mitzvahs you don't have chinuch for. Just like there's no chinuch for avelos, no chinuch for giving tzedakah, so you don't make chinuch over here. You don't make chinuch over here to make them pay priyas balchayv. So the Gemara says, we don't pass klakim. We pass in that shibin aguf, for sure is deraisa. Shibin nechosim, that's a machlekes. Whether shibin or deraisa, lav deraisa, that's not shibin nechosim. The ability to collect from the same mother kuchas, they never borrow the money. So that's based on shibin nechosim. But shibin aguf, if the father borrowed money, then he has to pay back. That's not like Rav Papa says. B'yas b'chayv is merely a mitzvah. And then when it comes to Yisrael, I'm going to say, Yisrael, I'm k'tan, I'm a lot b'nei mev, a mitzvah nimu. That's not to be the reason. We pass like Rav Huna b'edu Rav Yeshua. That ain't it from Yisrael, Yisrael, I'm k'tan, I'm k'en ribu s'ochel espem, because cheshinu l'tzrari. Maybe the father, maybe the father during his lifetime, maybe he gave a mashkon to the loive, and therefore the loive is secured already. The loive already has the money. So it's a different reason why. But if it would have been, if Priyas Bachev is more than just a mitzvah, Priyas Bachev is really Shibudim, so then the Gemara says, Gviya Shibudim. It's not Kaifan Ala Mitzvah, that's Gviya Shibudim. So that's a big discussion that the Achrayim have. What about giving tzedakah? Is giving tzedakah a chov moment? And Bezin can be Kaifa people, not that Kaifa the man to do the mitzvah. It's Meshubit. It's Meshubit to give the money to the Anim, to the tzedakah. People are Meshubit. Or do you say, no, it's a mitzvah. To give tzedakah is a mitzvah. So some Achrayim distinguish between the two types of tzedakah. Sometimes a person takes a neder. He pledges to give an amount of money. And other times he never took any neder. He's a stingy guy, never takes a neder. And we have to assess him. But some want to say, if we're assessing him, that's only a mitzvah. But if he took a neder, then just like Amirosa Lelokim, Sirosa Le'edyadom, if a person pledges to give money to Hegdus, that creates Shibudim, so Amirosa Le'edyadom applies also to tzedakah. So if he pledged to give money to tzedakah, that is a Shibud. If he didn't pledge, then it's only a mitzvah. And others say just the reverse, that if he pledged, it's only a neder, he took a neder, so he has to be mekayim the neder. But it's not Shibudim. But if he's not giving the basic amount that he's supposed to give, then Bezdin will be goyve from him. It's not kviya la mitzvahs, it's gviya shigimel beis yud yud hay gviya. That's gviya shibudim. So that's a big machlokes. And when you learn Nedarim, in the first parak in Nedarim, the Gemara has a suffix in the Gemara where the yesh yad letzdoka. Yad starts off as a din by Nedarim and Shavuos. By Nedarim and Shavuos, you have to have nefesh kisishov alavate bisvasayim. That's in Parshas by Yikra. So neder is only binding if the person pronounces a neder with his lips. Levatei bisvasayim. But if the person doesn't say a full sentence, he says a little bit, and based on what he said, we know what he's driving at. But it's not, he didn't say it explicitly. He said enough that we can understand. So that's a yad hamochiach. There's a yad she'ina mochiach kol kach. Let's say the guy says, I accept upon myself a neder, and he doesn't say what. That's a garnish ben garnish. That's not called a yach. But if he says enough that we know what he's driving at, but he didn't really say a full sentence, so that's sometimes called a yad hamochiach. It's 90% clear what he's driving at. Sometimes a yach shein hamochiach, it's only 80%, only 75% clear what he's driving at. Not so clear. So if you have a yad, so they learn out from a pasuk that even though by Nedor Mishvus you need nefesh kashav alavat bisvasayim, come, I believe, but it's not enough. Tzof lahoy to bisvasayim, he has to say it. But if he said half a sentence and it's a yad hamachiyach, it's considered as if he said the whole sentence. So the Gemara has a shaila there, a whole bunch of shailas. What about by kiddushin? Do you say yesh yad lekiddushin? He gives a ring to one girl, says Ariyam Kadeshes Li. Then he sees another girl, and says v'yad. So he meant also mekadeshes. Or did he mean that you should watch? But he gave her a ring, like he gave the first girl a ring. So the Gemara discusses whether yesh yad lekiddushin. Then the Gemara has a shada whether yesh yad letzdoka. Whether yesh yad, there are different things. Whether yesh yad. So the shada, what do you do when you have an ibayad of a pshita? Whether yesh yad letzdoka. So the Ran quotes a big machlokes of Rishayim. So some say safik deraisa lechumra. It's a misafik you have to give. And others say, no, it's a safik mamayna lekula. It's a suffix in Didi Mammon. It's a motzeh mechaber ala varai. I'm muhsik. The bala neder is muhsik on his money. And if it's a suffix of yeah, let's say there's a suffix when you mechiv to do pidyon aben. When you do pidyon aben, you say a bracha. But if there's a suffix when you mechiv to do pidyon aben, you don't have to shell out anything. A motzeh mechaber ala varai. You don't say do the pidyon aben and don't say a bracha. Suffix deraisa lechumre and suffix bracha zalka. No, you're not mechiv to do the whole pidyon aben at all. You say Sofet Bamoina Lakum. So that's so the Ran has this machlokes of Hashem. So that's where the discussion usually is on that Ran in the first parak in the Dorim. That's why that's where the Achronim have the discussion. That maybe the two kinds of tzedakah, one is with the nether, one is if they assess you. And maybe one of them is shigudim and one of them is only a nether. And there are two versions, which direction to say that distinction. So that was one suggestion that's based on the Shita Mekubet. Maybe over here it's not that Bezen Shalmata is Kaifa. No, Mitam the mitzvah that he has, it's a mitzvah says Shemat and Tzchor B'sida. But here it's not Kaifa and Allah mitzvah, it's Gviya Shibudim. If he's not giving the right amount, he's Meshubah to give this amount. So they're just collecting. That Gemara Chulin says Bezen is not Kaifa Allah mitzvah, based on that Gemara Ksubis Peivav, that the Sukkah Sheni Oysa. Makanosa should take Tzeinapsha. So here you don't say Makanosa. You don't beat him up that he should fulfill Kibbut Aviyah. But if there would be a case of Shibudim, like by Tzedakah, then you would be Kaif. Then Rav Soloveitchik is to say, over the name of Rav Chaim, another answer. That the Gemara comments on the Pasuk, and I think it's in the first parak in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara comments on the Pasuk, Motzo sech tishma v'yosisa kashana adata lal shamokecha nadova kashay dibarta v'ficha. Where is that pasuk in Parashat Shoftim or something? Kiseitze, I forgot. Bilo Kiseitze. So the Ramban and Chumash writes there are two different parshios of Nedarim. Parshas Nedarim is in the beginning of Matos. A person takes a neder or a shvua. That's by Nidri or Rishus. He takes a neder or a shvua, not to eat potato chips and not to eat cookies and not to attend someone's wedding. He takes a shvua not to attend someone's wedding. Or yes, to attend someone's wedding. That's a neder or shvua, but Dvar Hashus. And then Motzach Tishma Vesitz Kasher Adarta L'Hashem Al Kecha Nedova Kasher Dibarta Beficha. That goes on Nidrei Mitzvah. He took a neder to give tzedakah. He took a neder to learn Daf Yomi. He took a neder to bring a korban. So that's Nidrei Gavoy. The Ramban has three differences l'halacha between Nidrei Harishus. The Ramban is in the Sefer Mitzvahs, and the Ramban is on Chumash a little bit. And he has in the Sefer Mitzvah has three differences between Nidrei Harishus and Nidrei Mitzvahs. So on that pasuk. So you took an edit to give tzedakah. So give the tzedakah. You took an edit to bring a korban. So bring the korban. So the Gemara understands. V'yasisa like get me'usa. Like God l'hama'asa yoyse min ha'oyse. Here the Gemara has. On Tes Amid Aleph, 10 lines from the bottom. Omer Abeloza God l'hama'asa yoyse min ha'oyse. You get more reward for pressuring if you're the gabbai. And you pressured other people to give tzedakah, you get more reward than if you would have given the whole tzedakah yourself. Because give tzedakah is easy. I have money, I give the tzedakah. To go pressure other people to give tzedakah, people are embarrassed. And you're not going to make any friends. The other people are not going to be happy that you pressured them to give tzedakah. So you deserve more reward, God l'hamas. So the Gemara has a comment, v'yosisa, motzvach tishma v'yosisa, if the person took a level of tzedakah, asher lebezen sheyasucha, it's a mitzvah, and Bezen should be kai for the people to give the tzedakah. So Rav Chaim said, based on that pasuk, v'yasisar the Bezen sheyasucha, that tzedakah is a chiyav hayochid and a chiyav hatzibur. Each and every individual person mechuyav to give tzedakah, and the community is mechuyav to give tzedakah as a community. And the Rambam writes in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, when the Rambam quotes all the dinim of tzedakah in Matnas Aniyim, he writes, "Me'olam lo shamanu." We never heard of a Jewish community where they don't have a communal collection of tzedakah. You don't just have the aniyim or the heads of the yeshivas come to raise money, so they ring everyone's bell and they take donations. The community has to give tzedakah, the Torah's community. That's what the Rambam says. He never heard of a Jewish community that doesn't have a kupa shel tzedakah, that they collect the tzedakah and they distribute tzedakah, the Torah's tzibur. So the fact that Rava was kaifer Rav Nosson to give more tzedakah was not he was kaifer Rav Nosson to be mekayim his mitzvah. To be mekayim his mitzvah, the tzedakah, a mitzvah says that Shemat Mitzchor B'tzida and Bezer Shalmat and Mitzor Malah. The Bezer was kaifer him because that's the din. The community has to be mekayim the mitzvah, the communal mitzvah. There's a chayvus hayochid and a chayvus hatzibur. The chayvus hatzibur of giving tzedakah has to be fulfilled. You have to be mekayim it by saying to it that everyone gives. You're not kai for him, but Torah's Yachid. You kai for him as part of the Chayvus HaTzibur. So that's not subject to the rule. And Bezal Shalamata Masarmala. That's only when you have to be kaifa the yochid to fulfill his mitzvah. Here, the being kaifa is the mitzvah, not that you kaifa him to do a mitzvah. The kriya is the mitzvah, that the community fulfills the mitzvah together. The Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that you have by Nicham Aveilim also, you have Shura, you have Nicham Aveilim and the cemetery, so the Gemara says, and Shura Pchusim Asor. You have to have a minimum of 10 people being Menachem Mavel. They line up two rows and the Aveilim walk in between. The days of the Tanoim, the Gemara says, there was a different meaning that the Aveilim would stand still and the Menachemim would walk by. Over the different generation, the Gemara says it changed. The different generations, and now the common practice that they have two shuris, the Menachemim stand still and the Aveilim walk in between. So the Gemara says, ain't shura p'chusim asor, that the Nicham Aveilim is supposed to be fulfilled on an individual basis. Every yochid goes to be Menachem Mavel if he has time. And then the community should be Menachem Mavel b'Torah Siva. Then you have Simchas Chosim Ekala. People dance at a wedding, people give matanis. But then you recite the Sheva brachas at the end. Samech to Samech Reim Ha'uvim. You give a bracha to the Chosim Kala that they should have a happy marriage. So in order to say the Sheva brachas at the end, so you need a minyan. Need for Bichas Chasanim, you need a minyan asor. So you see, perhaps you can extrapolate from this that by all mitzvah Shebirana Machaveroi, there's both a Chayvus HaYochid and a Chayvus HaTzibur. By Nicham Aveilim and by Tzedakah and by Simchas Chosim Ekala, perhaps it's by all mitzvah Shebirana Machaveroi. Okay, good. Later tomorrow we shall come to you. Thank you.